Tan Talk Radio Network.
Blue Monday, how I hate Blue Monday. Got to work, like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play. Here come Wednesday, I'm beat to my side. My gal called, got to tell her that I'm out. Cause Thursday is a hard working day, and Friday I'll get my pay.
Oh yeah, there you go, a little Monday. But here we are, Blue Monday, I don't know. Fats Domino, great singer. Good morning, though, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I'm not blue today. I'm kind of energized, and along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, I think he's pretty energized, too. And we thank you for joining us on this Monday. Hey, it's the last Monday of the month already, though, July the 27th. Wow, the month has flown by, has it not? We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Austin Berg. Austin Berg of the Illinois Policy Institute. He's also an author. He's written a book called The New Chicago Way. Ha! But it's not what you think it is. The New Chicago Way. We're going to talk all about rampant corruption in state houses around the country. And it's going on indeed. So stay tuned for that. And Joe Biden is going to be deciding on his vice presidential running mate by the end of the week. Did you know that? I think Saturday. Well, we're going to tell you who we think it is. Who we think it is. So stay tuned for that. And, you know, Hollywood is known for its liberalism, just like just as much as the mainstream media. But there's now a guy that wants to start a conservative movie studio. Conservative movie studio. And not only are we going to wish him luck, we're going to tell you who he is, and we're going to tell you all about it. So stay tuned. And in our ultimate top 10, you know, baseball is back, right? Have you been watching it? You know, we got time on our hands, so probably a lot of people are tuning in, but they're not at the ballpark. However, what are the top 10 best ballpark snacks? We're going to have Ed figure out how many of these he knows. The top 10 best things you eat or drink at the ballpark. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. It is the best haircut you men can get in Tampa Bay. I can tell you that without question. But you got to make an appointment, 727-733-3773. And also, while you're at it, you can listen to us anytime. Hey, you got time on your hands if you're not running around with the pandemic. So go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and you can listen to any show anytime because Ed sets up all our shows on there on podcast. ourfreedomworks.com. All right. Well, Ed, I wonder if you remember this actress. Do you remember the movie Gone with the Wind? Your answer will be yes, you've heard of it. Do you remember the actress Olivia de Havilland?
Nope.
Okay. She was in Gone with the Wind as an adult in 1939. She just died at the age of 104 in Paris, France. She's probably like the last major movie star of that era. I cannot think of any others that are left.
That was in where? Paris?
Yeah, she was living in Paris for a good portion, probably about half her life.
Good thing it was in the U.S.
Yeah.
She'd been listed as coronavirus death.
Yeah, at 104, yeah. You're probably right. Although, you know, in France, they've had it.
Mm.
They've had it everywhere. It's not just here. Anyway, Olivia de Havilland won the Oscar twice. It's hard to believe she was born in 1916. Wow. She had made a movie in 1935 called Captain Blood. I watched it on television, Errol Flynn. She was like 19 years old. So she continued to act well into the 60s, if not the 70s. She died, obviously, of natural causes. She was the last surviving star of Gone with the Wind, which, by the way, you know that it's become, what do you call it, politically incorrect.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, it's politically incorrect to show it now because there are slaves in it. because it was dealt with the Civil War. Now, the people that played the slaves, including Hattie McDaniel, she won an Oscar. She won an Oscar. She was the first black, and possibly the first woman, but for sure the first black woman, in fact, the first black person to win an Oscar. She won it for Gone with the Wind. She was the only person that won it, I think, as far as the major actors in the film, if I remember that right.
Mm.
So Olivia de Havilland is gone, and she was a very interesting woman. She had a sister that did not look like her, but was also a big-time actress, Joan Fontaine. They did not get along. In fact, for most of their lives, they did not speak to each other. So that's more than you wanted to know about Olivia de Havilland. Let's get back to what's going on these days. First of all, do you want more money from the government? Well, White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow said yesterday on one of the talk shows that the government's going to extend the moratorium on evictions. If you're a renter or you're paying a mortgage and right now you're having trouble, and they're going to send out another round of checks as part of the stimulus package. I guess that's going to cost another, what, $2 or $3 trillion? But who cares, right? Nobody seems to care. And by the way, if you challenge anybody on where the money is coming from or when it will be paid back, you watch how they go mumbling. Okay? They go mumbling. But here's what he says. He says there's a $1,200 check coming. It's going to be part of the new package. He says, I would have preferred a payroll tax cut along with the check. In other words, more money that would be kept for the people that are currently working. The other thing I've been hearing about is these $600 unemployment checks that people are getting. And then they talk about how it's more than a lot of people were getting when they were working, and therefore they're not going to work or look for work. I think there's some truth to that. I think there is some truth.
I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah. And we're at, what, $26 trillion debt? I mean, nobody can even envision or visualize that amount, but nobody seems to care how it's going to be paid right now. And they say, well, we have a virus. I'm wondering if maybe we're using that as kind of a weak excuse, especially the Democrats. They love it. Oh, another thing. As long as I'm on a rant.
That's your rant?
Have you noticed that all the doomsday people about this virus, all the ones that are negative, tend to be Democrats and liberals? Have you noticed that? You know, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that people like, conservative, kind of constitutional, loving people, they're kind of like dealing with it. They're kind of like, I'm going to pick myself up and I'm going to go out and I'm going to do it. But it's like the Democrats, they want to shut everything down. They don't want to come up with a way of opening the schools. Maybe I'm wrong. Do you see that?
I see the same thing. To say the only way to open schools is just to open them and let the kids be on top of each other. Obviously, they never heard of split sessions.
Exactly.
We could have gone that way. But the teachers would have had to work a little bit longer, a bit of a longer day for them. And I think a lot of teachers are kind of getting used to staying back and staying at home.
Yeah.
You know?
I think so. I think so, too. I don't know. We talked about all this on Friday. I mean, there are ways to deal with this situation. And I think most people, I believe most parents want the kids back in school and are willing to come up with ideas to work with the schools, which I think they should do. I think it's simple enough. I think every school should get together in PTA meetings of some sort or on the phone with the parents and develop a plan. Develop some plan for each of these schools individually if necessary, although it could be done possibly at the district level as well. But there are ways to get this accomplished. These are the formative years for kids, especially in grade school, right? And that's the ones we're really thinking about. Because they're the ones that are, they're not going to sit by on a computer. They're not going to sit by on a computer and get the instruction that they need. They need to be in a classroom situation for a lot of reasons. And I think it could be worked out. Anyway, we are going to take our break. And when we come back, hopefully we will be talking with Austin Berg.
Here she comes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on the last Monday of July, and boy, there's a lot going on these days. The protests are continuing in Portland. What is it, about 60 straight days now? But in the meantime, there are some things going on that we should also take note of. And I've noticed that recently, my old stomping grounds in Illinois, Senator Mike Madigan, is having all kinds of trouble right now with corruption with their utility company, Commonwealth Edison. He's been there a coon's age. And there's a guy by the name of Austin Berg who works at the Illinois Policy Institute and has penned a new book called The New Chicago Way that talks about the seriousness of rampant statehouse corruption. Austin, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Indeed. Tell us, first of all, am I right about there in Illinois? Of course, we know poor Chicago and poor Illinois, they're kind of like the harbinger. Everybody thinks of them when we think about political corruption, but there's some bad things going on there in the Illinois General Assembly right now, correct?
That's correct, and he's actually a state representative.
That's it.
He's been a state representative since 1970.
Wow.
So we are in year 50 of Mike Madigan's seat as speaker. Seat as a state representative in Illinois.
And he's probably the most powerful politician in Illinois, and he's been that way for a long time, right?
He's the most powerful legislative leader and probably the most powerful state politician in the history of the country. So he's been Speaker of the Illinois House for 35 of the last 37 years. There is no speaker in American history that has served longer, either at the federal or the state level. And that has had horrible consequences for the state of Illinois. It almost doesn't matter at that point what your values are, what your ideology is, what your party is. If you're able to concentrate that much power to hold that seat for more than three decades,
yes,
the result is going to be disastrous.
I mean, I've been here for quite a few years, but even when I was a kid, that guy was there in Springfield. In fact, it's almost unbelievable that he's lasted that long. But he certainly has accumulated power. What's the deal with the Commonwealth Edison, which is the utility company for a good portion of Illinois?
So the problem, as you know, is that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And in the sense of, in the case of Illinois, there has been such concentrated power that's calcified over the years, especially in terms of the House rules. So Madigan can control all pieces of legislation, require his tacit or explicit approval to become law in Illinois. He can single-handedly kill whatever bill he wants. So when you're a big company like Commonwealth Edison, that means you do one-stop shopping, right? You only need to grease the palms of one person in order to get what you want, whether that's a rate hike, whether it's a nuclear power plant bailout, whether it's to stop other regulations. You know exactly who butters your bread. So in the case of Commonwealth Edison, we actually saw that they were ghost payrolling, allegedly, people with close ties to Madigan in order to curry his favor. That was known at the top levels of the company. And we saw a week ago a $200 million federal prosecution agreement with ComEd, where they agree to pay this enormous fine. They will cooperate with the feds for 3 years, and they essentially admit to bribing the speaker in curry favor in Springfield.
Wow. We're talking with Austin Berg. He's the author of The New Chicago Way, and he's also vice president of marketing at the Illinois Policy Institute, and he knows all about what's going on in Illinois politics. But Austin, it isn't just confined to Illinois. There's some statehouse corruption in some other places as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's clearly a focus at the federal level on anti-corruption efforts. On state houses, specifically House speakers. So about a week ago, we saw Sheldon Silver, the former speaker of the New York's equivalent of the House of Representatives. He was sent to 6.5 years for corruption. That was a long case, a case that was drawn out over 5 years. And then very recently, we just saw what looks to be the largest corruption scandal in the history of Ohio, wherein their House speaker, Larry Householder, was arrested by the feds recently. So clearly there is somewhat of a focus on these leaders, especially ones that are able to accumulate so much power at the state level.
Is there any reason right now why all of this is happening? Is it just coincidental that these three states in particular, or is it indicative of a larger issue that is going on in state government?
It's a good question, and it's hard to pinpoint an exact answer, but I will say, at least in the case of Madigan, probably in the case of Sheldon Silver and Householder as well, it's easy for people to take their eye off the ball of ethics and just our democracy in general at the state level. It does not get the type of media coverage that our federal politics does, and it never has, but it's increasingly getting less as state house newsrooms kind of dwindle across the country. And when people are not vigorously guarding their liberties at the state level and guarding an ethical government, you have folks that are able to come in and consolidate power over a very long period of time. So unfortunately, those reforms aren't coming at the state level. They're coming in the form of federal agents knocking on people's doors. And that is not the way you want to have ethics reform.
Absolutely not. I mean, corruption in the states has been going on forever. I mean, it's nothing new. We knew, for instance, that there was all kinds of hanky-panky going on in the Illinois General Assembly when I was there, even as a young kid. I mean, you just knew it. And then you had Mayor Daley running Chicago, and there was a big connection between Daley and Springfield. all of a sudden, why is it that this is coming, like, specifically with Madigan, why is it that this is coming to the forefront now? Is it because Madigan all of a sudden did this? Or is it because he's been doing it for a long time and someone finally figured it out as if they didn't know? I'm just kind of curious about all of that.
That's a very good question, and we'll probably know more about exactly the timeline of this investigation. But we are amidst probably the widest ranging federal corruption probe in the history of Illinois, and that's really saying something.
I think so.
Three or four state lawmakers in the House and Senate go down with indictments. We've seen multiple Chicago aldermen go. This is all within the last 2 years. There was a revelation that a city councilman was wearing a wire for the feds and caught a bunch of very interesting activity on his wire.
Oh, boy. I bet he did.
Yeah. So I think in the case of Madigan, there's a pretty compelling case to be made that some of this actually started amidst the Me Too movement. He had a very key ward lieutenant who sort of, you know, knocked on doors for him, was kind of his political muscle, who was publicly outed as harassing a fellow staffer, and he was subsequently fired from Madigan's operation. Now, this is one of his top political lieutenants. And a funny thing started happening after he was fired. The guy started getting payments from key lobbyists in Springfield and people with ties to ComEd. So you have to think maybe it's at some point the feds got interested in saying, hey, this guy was just fired from this longtime political operation and seems to be getting money for no reason. What's going on there?
Yeah.
And you could see that may have been the camel's nose under the tent.
Yeah, you know, that would make some sense. That would make some sense. And yet everybody knew all of this corruption's been going on forever. Even, what, three or four governors of Illinois have gone to prison. We just had Blahojevich. I guess he's out now, but he's not the first one. I remember Governor Dan Walker. I think he went to prison in Illinois. I think Illinois, I don't know why. Why is it, you're from Illinois, why is it that it's Illinois that's been the most corrupt, if indeed that's right? I mean, there's Tammany Hall and other places in the East where they had some real corruption as well. But do you think Illinois has been like the leader, if there is such a thing, in this?
It has been. So over we know this from just counting the number of federal corruption convictions. And over the last 20 years, Illinois has over 800 of those. It comes out to almost one per week for 20 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Those are just at the federal level.
Why?
Federal.
What is it about Illinois? Is it the air, the water? What's going on in Illinois?
Well, there's certainly a cult. There's a great book by Professor Dick Simpson at University of Illinois Chicago called Corrupt Illinois that I suggest people read if they're interested. So part of it is cultural. There is not a culture of public service. It is a culture of private benefit in exchange for public service in Illinois. And people expect to be privately benefited because of the power that they wield in Springfield. Madigan is a great example of this. His business, so to speak, for the last 50 years has been owning a law firm that specializes in property tax appeals. So in Cook County, you can pay Madigan's law firm to lower your property tax bill by appealing that valuation to the county assessor. It's a notoriously corrupt game. So imagine the message that sends to everyone else in public service in Illinois, that the most powerful person in the state, he's not making that money off of, you know, he doesn't have a sign outside that says, hire my law firm and I'll pass your bill.
Yes.
But he might as well.
Yes.
And that's it. The problem is what's legal, what is the corruption under the law in Illinois, not illegal corruption that is completely legal. That's a great example of it. So there's been just, you know, over decades, a lack of an effort to reform those types of practices. And I think that has really been what's rotted it to the core.
You know, having grown up with Mayor Daley, both of them, I got the impression that the Daleys themselves, as mayors of the city, really did have the city of Chicago at heart and wanted it to be a great city. And they didn't necessarily get caught up themselves in taking bribes. However, all the people around them in the aldermanic council did. And it used to be thought of that the Daley really, you know, they couldn't catch him, the original Richard J. Daley. They couldn't catch him, but they'd catch those around him.
That's right. And we don't see Chicago mayors going to prison, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
And it's really our book, The New Chicago Way, talks a bit about why that's the case. Part of it, similar to Madigan, at the state level, the mayor in Chicago, Chicago's really the last big city in America that is completely run by one person, and that's the mayor. That used to be the norm in cities, you know, in the early 20th century, but has been reformed in most places except Chicago. So you see the problem in Chicago is that the mayor runs the show. They run policy. They run appointments to the board, the school board. They control the police. They really control every aspect of city government. And then the city council is not really a legislative body in any sense. It's 50 ward chiefs that control ticky-tack things in their ward, like signage approval, or whether you want a sidewalk cafe or an awning, things like this. And, of course, the result of that is more than 30 of them have gone to jail on corruption charges since the 1970s. Because you depend really on at least the ambivalence of this elected official in order to run your business successfully. So, of course, that's going to
be. Yeah.
So this is all systemic, is my point.
Sure. Are the mayors as all-powerful now? Like, is Lori Lightfoot, the current mayor, is she as powerful as, say, back in the days of Jane Byrne and... and the dailies?
That's a good question. I would say probably not as powerful as, for instance, the Daily, because he was able to operate with truly an old-school patronage machine. But there are a lot of vestiges of Daily's power that still exist today. One of them, which people find to be unbelievable when I tell them this in other cities, if an alderman leaves their seat in Chicago, say if they're arrested on corruption charges, or say they just step down, the mayor names their replacement. So imagine that in Congress. If a congressperson was arrested on corruption charges, the president got to choose who replaces them.
Yeah, no voting.
It's a total lack of check and balance.
No right? Voting. So you just replace them. I see. Is that how it works?
Wow. Yeah, so that's really the mayor controls the city council.
Oh,
they're not
goodness.
They're essentially a rubber stamp for their interests. That's one major reason why. You also have things like our municipal elections. People talk about voter suppression a lot. The biggest voter suppression story in Illinois is the fact that our municipal elections are in February of an off-presidential year. I'm sure you've been to Chicago in February.
I can't think of a worse time, and then it's an off year as well.
Yes. So there are lots of power structures in place that put power in the hands of the mayor still today.
Well, Austin Berg, you are indeed an interesting individual, and you've come up with a book called The New Chicago Way that it's available right now, I assume, and tell us who was the publisher, where we can get it.
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon, or you can get it from the Southern Illinois University Press, who published it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so very much, Austin. Good luck with the book. Really appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks. Good speaking with you.
All right. Austin Berg, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, we're going to have our eye in the northern sky talk to us a little bit about what is going on up in the northern part of our country with the pandemic and the like, along with Hollywood may indeed be stepping aside to welcome in a conservative movie studio.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tan Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM, to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, Freedom Works. Thank you very much for joining us. We are here, by the way, every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. Well, a new poll out. Don't you get sick of these polls? After a while, your eyes glaze over. Why am I reading about it? You know? I guess it's something to talk about. First of all, we're too far away. We're, what, 3 months away still from the election? A new poll says that only 13% of voters still are up for grabs in the presidential election. That means 87%, if my math is right, already know who they're going to vote for. So all of the rest of the time between now and Election Day, Trump and Biden are going to be focusing on 13% of the people. 13%. Now, is that going to make any difference? Is that going to make any difference? I wonder. So this is a recent Wall Street Journal NBC poll. Now, that's compared with 50% who say there is no chance, no chance they will support Trump. 50%. 37%, no chance, no chance they will support Biden. The up for grabs or persuadables who said they currently don't support either Trump or Biden or back another candidate still might vote for one of the two. So there you go. All right. And we have our eye in the northern sky with us. Angelo Ceraci. I think Angelo's already made up his mind. Have you made up your mind yet, Angelo?
Oh, yes. I'm voting for Trump.
Oh, you are. Okay. Why am I not surprised? How are you doing?
Very good, Paul. How is everybody down in Florida?
We're staying safe. We're staying well. We're getting very kind of tired about all of this. I look here and I see, you know, Florida's gone through quite a lot of new cases, Angelo. There's almost 147,000. As I speak, I think we're hitting the 147,000 mark in American deaths. Now, no matter what you say about it, that's a lot of people that died from it.
Absolutely.
And we were hoping by now that things would be settling down. Doesn't look like it. How are things in New York? Are things really settling down?
Yes, they are. They are.
That's good news.
We haven't had hardly any cases up here in Rochester at all, really.
That's wonderful news. I'm getting
no deaths or anything at all.
So the Northeast is pretty much, it's like the high point of this thing is already past them? Is that what you think?
I would think so. I mean, who knows? People say wait for the second wave. You know, you don't really know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now what do you think, Angelo? Have you noticed a change in President Donald Trump's demeanor?
Oh, a little bit, you know. I think he's... He's still tweeting because of the media doesn't give him the coverage at all. They're all for Biden anyway. So he's the only one trying to do the things for himself to show what he's been doing.
I haven't even seen a tweet recently.
No, I think there was a tweet the other day.
Well, he's normally every morning. He's normally
right.
Tweeting.
I think he's kind of taking it easy on that stuff.
Well, you know, he has a new campaign advisor.
Yes.
And you know the campaign advisor is probably telling him, look at your numbers, Donald. Look at your numbers, especially in states like Florida and in Pennsylvania and in Michigan and in Wisconsin. Do you want to win? Then you better change what you're doing. Do you think he's getting that message from his campaign advisor?
I kind of hope he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing that bothers me is that when the Democrats did the Mueller report, when the Democrats they turned the coronavirus into a political thing when the Democrats have never even come out about the protests and the rioting, and they legitimized Black Lives Matter, taking a knee, doing this and doing that. And with the policies that they espouse, I find it hard to believe that the American people hate the president that much to vote for these people again. I can't fathom the idea that they would let this country go south, take it down, make it go to the way of Venezuela, than to support, well, you may not like the guy, but just to save America alone, that they would let America fall to pieces.
I think you've put it very well. I think that's right.
Are the American people that dumb that they would do that?
You would think not. However, when you are constantly bombarded in the media with what a lousy job Donald Trump is doing, and you have a pandemic that nobody can be blamed for in this country.
Right.
Let's be honest. Between those two things, it's making it hard for Trump to be reelected.
Yes.
I mean, really.
But I gave the American people more credit than that, but I guess not. I mean, they allowed World War II to happen because we became isolationists.
We were isolationists, especially after World War I. We did not want, many of those people, you know, back in 1940, remembered World War I and remembered what happened.
And with Neville Chamberlain allowing Hitler to do what he did.
Neville Chamberlain was the Prime Minister of England. He went over there and got a signed piece of paper. And then came back and said, "We've got peace in our time." That was his famous statement, but go ahead.
And the people let Hitler take power and actually practically destroyed the world.
So it
happened. Allowed the Holocaust to happen.
So it happened.
Do the American people, are they that blind to see what's happening in our own country? Where anarchists are taking over cities. I mean, I just can't fathom that. I mean, I am amazed. You know, I'm not the educated PhD like a lot of these people and all these other things, but I see what's happening. And these people are supposed to be educated, and this, and they hate a person that much that they would allow our country to become communist.
Angelo, remember one thing. Just because you have a PhD doesn't mean you have any common sense.
No, right.
And
but I mean,
the common sense, I know what you're saying, and the common sense is what we hope mainstream America has, and there are enough of us, I say us, people that believe in the Constitution and the rule of law and individual responsibility, that we will not allow this to happen. But I'm beginning to worry about it. We've talked about this on the show.
I mean,
it's the
I'm actually worried about it.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think we've I think we've never been closer. We have never been closer to a socialist takeover of our country than we are right now at this moment.
That's right. Kuz just said we will take you from within, back in the 1960s.
It's always the thing. That's what took brought down Rome, remember? Well, you don't remember it, but we read about it, right?
Right, right.
It was within that they, it wasn't the people coming in and invading. It was within, the rot within.
Within, which was the fall of the Roman Empire.
By the fall of the Roman Empire. No empire can last forever. We've been lasting for, what, 270 years, whatever it is?
But, you know, the thing is, we're not really an empire.
No,
you
we're
know
not.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, we're not running around the world controlling everything we can control, right?
Right, right. We've never done that.
No. Nope.
I mean, maybe earlier they tried to say, well, democracy.
Well, you know, the British Empire did it, right?
Right.
The British Empire, they used to say the sun never set.
And
the British Empire, because they owned land all around the world, and they did control it. But
we fought against the British Empire, the world's greatest empire. We defeated the world's greatest empire at the time with the American Revolution.
Correct.
And we're allowing America to fall. We are the the United States will no longer be the United States of America. It'll be the Communist States of America. I'm really sincerely afraid that that's what's going to happen. I think the only thing that can save this country right now is when Attorney General Barr and the U.S. Attorney Durham, if they bring indictments to these people who actually tried to
bring down Trump's administration.
Right, a coup to get rid of the Trump administration, a duly elected administration. And these people have got to go to jail. Otherwise, if they don't, we're in trouble. Totally, you might as well call the United States a defunct country. Because if these people can get away with it, Comey, Clapper, even Joe Biden, he's the one that came up with that law about using an old law where to get General Flynn, a 1799 law.
Oh, yeah, right. I know what you mean.
He's involved, too. So this has been going on from day one, and the American people still want to have this country fall. They would rather vote for these people who tried to overthrow our government and put them in power and toss the United States to the dogs, throw the United States under the bus.
Well, we'll hope that we're going to hope that Durham report will eventually see the light of day, maybe before the election, and we can focus in. But I want to thank you. I think you made some excellent points, Angelo. Thank you very much, my friend. Have a
Always
great...
my pleasure.
Yes, indeed. And we'll talk with you again next Monday.
Okay.
All right. There he goes. Thank you, Angelo. Angelo Ceresi. Ah, yes. Wow. Well, we made a lot of good points. We are going to take our final break, and we got a lot of things to talk about. I'm going to talk with Ed, too, a little bit about whether or not taking a knee might prove fatal for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final phase of Freedom Works this morning. And I want to talk a little bit about, you know, how Hollywood and the media in particular, those two entities are so much in the liberal tank these days. I mean, Hollywood's been that way for a long, long time, as has the mainstream media, maybe even more so these days, right? Well, there is a bright, shining possibility in Hollywood that we're going to see a conservative movie studio, a guy by the name of Antonio Sabato, or Sabato, I should say, Sabato Jr., has announced he's starting a conservative movie studio. He's a 48-year-old actor, and he talked about it last week. And he says he plans on taking on projects that other Hollywood studios would never do.
What was his name again?
His name is Antonio
Sabato Jr.
Yeah, do you know him?
Yes. Yeah, he was one of them heartthrobs from a soap opera, General Hospital.
Yeah.
Probably in the 90s, I want to say.
Very good. Yeah, I think you're right. The General Hospital star, it says here. You are right, sir. By the way, you know, he also ran for a congressional seat, but he lost that back in 2018.
Mm.
Okay. I wonder, he's possibly been out of the acting business for a while.
Yeah, he did a couple of B-rated movies, and I think that's about it.
Well, here's what he says. We're putting together a plan to create a conservative movie studio for all patriots to do projects that Hollywood would never do. He says, no more blacklisting, no more injustice from the socialist elites. You know, it takes a lot of guts in Hollywood to say that.
Yeah, because you know what you're going to be labeled as.
Yes, exactly.
A racist.
Well, you're going to be labeled as a racist. You're going to be blacklisted because, they're mm-hmm. not going to invite you to their cocktail parties and sporting
right.
things.
Yep.
Yeah, and social get-togethers. He said, I was the first celebrity to come out and talk about the president and that he had my vote from day one. He said, I was the first one to say he was going to win.
Hmm.
He said, my integrity is intact. What I believe is still intact. What does not break you makes you stronger. That's what they say, so I'm stronger than ever, and I didn't have to lie about who I am. That guy's got some guts.
Yeah.
He's really got some guts. Okay. Also, we talked about the fact that we kind of have an idea who we think Vice President Biden is going to announce for vice presidential running mate maybe this Saturday. And I'm going to tell you, I think it's Val Demings.
Okay.
And Val Demings is a black woman with a background in policing. She comes from Orlando. They need to win the state of Florida. She's a charismatic woman. Now, a lot of progressives don't want a police person on the ticket, but... Mm. Think about it. This is a way of grabbing some of these people that are pro-police and maybe used to be Democrats and are sliding towards Trump. So we'll see. But you know,
how old is she? I think she's up there. Isn't she?
No, she's not that old. Huh? I don't think. Let me see here. I don't see her age on here.
Okay.
I've seen a picture of her. I think
because these so-called polls, which they've never called me and asked me for my opinion, or anybody I know for their money.
Mm-hmm.
But these polls are saying that Biden is so far ahead that he doesn't have to go out and get a shock-absorbing running mate. In other words, a go-getter, the name, to sway those votes back over to him.
Well, I think he does need
but
to get
if
a woman.
Yes, he's already come out and said that months ago.
Yes.
It's going to be a woman. You know, because he's ahead. Now, if he were way behind, they would need something, I'm not saying her, but a Hillary or Michelle Obama or Oprah Winfrey, the names that are being just thrown out there to go get those votes that they need.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, even I didn't know who Val Demings was, and we follow some politics locally.
I saw the name, and I remember Orlando.
Yeah, right.
As one of the candidates.
But you didn't have a great deal of knowledge.
No, I don't know
either.
Who the hell she is, no.
But they need Florida big time, and that's one of the reasons I'm thinking that no matter what they're saying right now with some of these others, like Susan Rice or our friend from Massachusetts that ran, the white woman, I can't think of her name, you know.
Well, you can see what they're doing with the virus. But now that Florida has overtaken New York in total cases.
Mm-hmm.
Now they can say, look at this. You know, look what they've done under Trump. Of course, it's all his fault.
Exactly.
That we've got this virus, which is just
Pelosi's,
ridiculous.
Of course. Pelosi's calling it, did you hear her the other day call it the Trump virus?
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
Real quickly, you told me that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady, who we just got, has made a threat to players that will take a knee during a game. Tell us.
This was probably about a month and a half ago or so. That
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I missed this. Go ahead.
I don't know why they just didn't make more light of it. But Tom Brady said, if any of my teammates take a knee, I will quit.
That's unbelievable. I never saw that. That's for sure, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
Ah, well, we will see what happens. All right. Speaking about sports, hit, top 10 best ballpark snacks, okay? And this comes from BleacherReport.com. Let's see if Ed knows what's number one. He should. But here we go. Number 10, cotton candy. Did you ever eat cotton candy at a baseball game?
Yeah, for kids, yeah.
Yeah, of course. But did you? You did? Okay.
No.
No, I never did either. Number 9.
I went straight for the beer.
Yeah, as a 10-year-old. Okay. Number 9 is ice cream / lemon chill.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ice cream lemon chill. Okay. Number 8. Popcorn. There was a thing in Comiskey Park when I was a kid. It was like a megaphone kind of popcorn
yeah.
holder.
Yeah, you remember talking about? I remember that,
and
yeah.
then after you ate the popcorn, you could...
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, creative.
I remember it still. Number 7. French fries. I don't know. It goes with something
that
else.
That can get messy if you've got ketchup and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But it's apparently it's on the list. Number 6.
I'm not bringing that back to the seat.
Exactly. Number 6 is Polish or Italian sausage. Do you like that?
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Oh. Yeah, okay. Number 5, Cracker Jack.
Yeah, well, that goes with the name and everything.
Yeah, so. Right. Good old Cracker Jack. Been around forever. Number 4, Bratwurst. Bratwurst. You ever had a Bratwurst
sure.
in the park?
Yeah.
And you know, in Milwaukee, Miller Park?
Oh, God.
Oh, I bet they're great
yeah.
there. All right. Number 3, and this is one of my favorites, I have to admit, peanuts.
Yeah.
I once I start eating peanuts, I can't cannot stop.
Now, do you eat the ones you got to de-shell?
Of course I do.
Okay.
I lick the shells because
okay.
I like the salt.
You don't
salt.
Eat the shells, too?
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding? Do you eat the shells?
I've done it on a dare.
Oh, you
but
crazy
I have a,
person.
I had a, you know how you get
you
that pile of empties
person.
In front of you? All the carnage in front of you because you split the shells? And my friend has nothing in front of her.
Oh, you're kidding.
And I said, what are you doing with the shells? She goes, I eat the shells. I said, what are you crazy?
How do you digest shells?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Number 2. Crazy. Well, you knew this was going to be on the list. Hot dogs. Of course.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
You got to have the ballpark Frank.
All right. Ed, what do you think is the number one?
It's food, right? It's not beer.
No, it's not necessarily food. That's what
oh,
I was just
okay,
going to say.
Okay.
It's. I want you to tell me. Think about it. Think about it. Let's see if you can get it. Number one, best ballpark snack.
Snack.
Well, liquid or solid.
I got to go with beer.
You think beer?
Mm-hmm.
With all the kids that are at a park?
Well,
you
I
really
think, more,
think beer?
I think there's more parents than
would
kids.
Would you bet your life on it?
No, I wouldn't bet my life on it. But I'm
okay.
Just, you know,
all right, roll the drum.
Yeah. I'm just saying there's more parents than kids.
You're right.
Yeah, well, see, you tried to talk me out of it.
I know. I just was having fun with you.
Must be a theme today.
But you know how expensive beer is now, right?
Yeah.
What is it, $5 for a bottle of beer?
Yeah, about 8 years, 10 years ago,
yeah,
20
it,
years
how
ago.
How much is it really?
About let's
10,
see, about
$9?
A 22-ounce beer costs you $9.
Oh, my goodness. For that, I'll go sober.
We would see the cups get smaller every year.
Yes.
And you're like, hey, beer's still $9. Yeah, but look at the size of the cup.
Exactly. All right, my friends, thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.